Anything that's not growing is dead. Whatever you do, you should be better the next year. One of your alumni, Taylor Cummings. What people say about her competitive edge, the desire to get better, you got to have that. You got to be hungry. You got to just want to just push yourself. And to me, it's doing the work when nobody else is watching. Game time is too late. Make yourself work hard on the field and off the field. Push yourself, grow, never stop growing. And read, read, read. Fill your head with positive stuff because there's going to be, if you're really good, you're going to have a lot of haters, folks. Welcome to the Fred Opie Show, where you learn how to make a difference on and off the field. I'm your host, Fred Opie, a former Syracuse University and U.S. national team athlete turned historian. I use the oral histories of my guests to unpack strategies to make a positive impact in this world. Today's Fred Opie Show was recorded at the McDonough School in Owings Mills, Maryland, a suburb of Baltimore. Coach Andy Hillgartner invited me to come and speak to several groups at the high school. I spoke at the FCA Huddle, which is like a Bible study, Sankofa, which is a BSU Black Student Union type organization, a history class, and ended with a lunchtime Fred Opie Show with the McDonough Girls and Boys Varsity Lacrosse teams. Both these teams are outstanding. The girls, for example, have not lost a game in 3 years. Yes, you heard that right, 3 years. Taylor Cummings, Jesse Morgan, and Jeremy Sievert are outstanding McDonough alum who I've interviewed on the show. Today we interviewed McDonough seniors Julia Cooper, a goalie going to Stanford University, Maddie Jenner, a midfielder headed to Duke University, Jack Simmons, a midfielder committed to the University of Virginia, and Jack Sweeney, a midfielder slash attackman who will be attending the United States Naval Academy. Following the interviews, I took questions from the audience.
How many different club teams did you play on up to this point? And that the team ultimately that became the one you stayed on, how did you make that choice?
My name's Jack. I played on 3 club teams, and then I ended up with the Crabs Lacrosse Club. And that team really, we bonded and we stuck together through high school.
Why did you stick with Crabs, and why do you think it was your best experience?
Well, Crabs obviously has the reputation of a great club program. Helps with recruiting, and the coaches were really good. It was really big just for the development part of actually getting better, playing club, and actually enjoying it, having fun, if you still want to get better.
I started with Maryland United.
What's your first name?
My name's Maddie.
Okay.
Which was a local club near my house in Annapolis. And then when I came to McDonough in 8th grade, I switched that fall going into my 8th grade year at McDonough to M&D. And I first went to them because our high school coach was the coach for our year, and he's, like, the best coach.
Jack, I played for a club called Zingos. I started in probably 5th grade,
okay.
And I played for them till now.
Okay. Why that team?
I mean, I played with, like, they're all my friends from, like, out of school, from, like, rec lacrosse. And I tried out for a bunch of different teams, like, early high school and late middle school, but I didn't really make any of the teams. So I kind of just stuck with Zingos. And even though we weren't, like, the most talented, we all, like, were really close with each other, and it was just, like, a really good experience overall.
Good. How about you?
My name's Julia, and in the summer after 4th grade, I tried out for M&D, which is the club Maddie plays for. And I've been with them until this past summer when club ends for seniors. And so I was with that team my whole club career.
Why did you choose that team?
Well, the reputation for being at McDonough is a lot of girls stick with the M&D program based because of our coach and also because they have a lot of practices at McDonough, so out of convenience.
Okay.
But we had to travel to Columbia for a lot of practices.
Yeah, this is really helpful because a lot of people are trying to figure that out, and to hear the reasons why you all chose, I think, will be very helpful. And I heard a number of reasons here: convenience, friends, relationship, reputation, the ability to maybe have some college coaches know about you because of the club. I think those are all important reasons here. Where did you go on your official visits, and why did you choose the school you chose? Where did you go on your official visit?
I went to BC, Penn, Princeton, Maryland, Stanford, Duke. I ended up choosing Duke. Well, I love its location.
Okay.
My sister's there, and its academic reputation and sports programs are amazing.
In retrospect, do you think you could have shortened your list?
Yeah, because I kind of knew in the beginning that I wanted to go there, but I, like, really enjoyed visiting all these different places because it's fun, like, traveling and meeting different people.
Okay.
So I wouldn't have wanted to. And then you know for sure that's where you want to go.
Jack, I wasn't exactly getting recruited as heavily as some of the other kids in my club team or anything like that, so I would kind of, any team that reached out, I'd go visit. The way I based my recruiting process was just if I could see myself going there as just as a school as well as the lacrosse, because say you break your leg or you can't play lacrosse, then you actually have to go to school there. So,
committed to going to a particular school next fall?
Yes, University of Virginia.
Why UVA?
Well, my sister already goes there, and so I had that same family connection like Maddie. Down south, I like the warm. Also has a very good business major like that, and I really like Coach Tiffany.
Julia, I visited Maryland, Stanford, and the Naval Academy. I'm a goalie. I had pressure to commit earlier. After visiting those, I chose Stanford, and I'm going to Stanford University. I picked it just because I wanted the same balance of academics and lacrosse. I was really excited about that, and I love California. I wanted to be out there. So
what is the difference of being a goalie when there's one person in that spot? And it seems to me that that's a position that if you're a coach, you're going to commit some scholarship money to that position, and that's going to be a priority first. What was the difference that you felt? Did you know early on in your class, these are the people I'm competing against as a goalie?
Yeah. Goalie world's small. I knew a lot of the girls who I was competing against for the one spot on the college team, but it's interesting because since they only take like one goalie either every other year or different schools handle the goalie situation in different ways, I would call a certain school and see if they were interested, and they would tell me that they weren't recruiting a goalie in my class at all.
Okay.
So that changes things, because even if you're interested in the school, that can be a very big deciding factor. I knew some of the other girls I was competing with, but you just kind of have to focus on yourself, improve your own game, because you can't worry about what they're doing.
By the way, there is an interview on the podcast with Devin Wills, three-time U.S. women's team goalie. Interview with Larry Quinn, Hall of Fame goalie from John Hopkins. Trevor Tierney, two-time U.S. national team goalie, All-American goalie at Princeton. As a defenseman, I kind of have a partiality towards goalies. So can you tell us about you?
I visited four schools, Navy, Mercer, Bucknell, and Tufts. I like them all just based off my visit, but Navy kind of stuck out just because I like the coaches so much. And, like, the whole academic aspect and military aspect really stuck out to me. So that was kind of just, like, my overall factor of why I chose Navy.
Are you going direct or the prep school?
Direct.
I've known Coach Stoll since he was 18. I used to cover him. He went to a junior college as well. His school was Colbeskill, and my school was Herkimer County Community College. They used to beat us every year in the regional finals. And he was a tough competitor. We played together for Maryland Lacrosse Club. Also, Jack Ray, number 42, attackman for them. His mom and I went to high school together. I emailed him and told him about Jack. And ultimately, Jack was a senior in high school, and everybody else had already committed. It was Coach Stoll who came in and offered a prep school opportunity. I say this to you because if you're a senior or you're a junior and you're still feeling no love, there are plenty of players. Yeah, Trevor Baptiste's story is in April of his senior year. He's committed to go to a Division III school. Somebody tells Coach Tierney about him. He gets his scholarship in April of his senior year. Good programs keep money and keep slots for those opportunities. So don't freak out if you're not signed, sealed, delivered already, is my message to you.
If you like what you hear on the show, share a link on Facebook or Twitter, or send the link to a friend. If you have a question you want us to address on the show, write me at fdopie@gmail.com. You can find our show archive, blog, suggested reading, and more at fredopie.com.
If you have questions about advertising and sponsoring this show, contact us at fdopie@gmail.com. That's fdopie@gmail.com.
Now back to the show.
What are you going to major in when you get to school?
Probably ocean engineering. I love all sciences and math.
Just Thinking, interview done on the show with Glenn Miles, Hall of Famer, Naval Academy graduate, played with me in the U.S. National Team in 1990. Great interview. Guy struggled his first year at the Naval Academy. He'll tell you how he turned it around. As good as you are as a student here, folks, you're going to a place like Stanford or Navy, you better work your butt off. If you've been coasting now, you better stop coasting. I can tell you that. And that comes out in the interview with Glenn Miles. There's also an interview with Jeff Long, another Hall of Famer from the Naval Academy. But those would be good for you to listen to before you go to the Naval Academy.
I'm not sure yet, but I'm interested in going with pre-med track.
Pre-med track. There's a link to my website, fredopie.com. My latest book is called Start With Your Gift. Go to the website. There's a complimentary first chapter. It's on the chapter on how to understand your gift. It will tell you what your major should be depending on what your gift is and how to identify what school will be best for you and what your gift is. I would definitely check that out before you go into school. Having the right major is critical when you're in school.
I think I want to do some sort of business. My dad does business, so I think as of now it's a good fit.
Sure. I'm going to tell you in all respect, read the book. My dad does business is going to be a good fit for you. It may not be the case. It may be. It will show you how to understand what is your gift. That's where you want to start first. It's not going to look at schools first. It's find out where your gift is, should I go to college, and what's the best college for developing my gift. Don't be butt backwards. Mom, let's go look at school. No. Mom, Dad, help me understand what my gift is, and then find the right place to develop that gift is what my message is to you all.
Stanford offers a major called Science, Technology, and Society, which is something that I've looked into and I'm pretty interested in. I'm going there with that mindset, but I feel like it will change as I take courses and find other interests.
One of the things I tell everybody, why I say read the book, because every stupid mistake I made since I was your age, you don't have to make because you can read my mistakes. My first degree is in physical education. Did that for 3 years, loved it. Nothing wrong with it. Matter of fact, it makes me a great coach because I understand that. But I'm a history professor now, and I could have figured that out a lot earlier if I had read the book that I just wrote. That's why I'm telling you, read the book. What do you think should be a required course before graduating from high school?
Everyone should have at least the basic, like deal with mortgages and deal with taxes and even learning how to use an Excel sheet. It was something that I think will help me in the long run.
Something on like manners and do your laundry or like set the table. You have to learn basic life skills.
Like how to pay taxes, how to pay a mortgage. One of my biggest fears about growing up is how do you pay taxes? Nobody really tells you how to do that.
Dinner with three people that are alive, and why these three people?
Jimmy Fallon, Kobe Bryant, and Abe Lincoln. With Jimmy Fallon, it'd be like an interesting conversation because he'd make you laugh the whole time.
Okay.
Talking to Kobe Bryant was just one of the coolest things ever. He'd give you great advice. Everyone in the world wishes they could talk to Abe Lincoln.
Kobe the Muse, have you seen that?
No.
Oh, if you don't know Kobe Bryant yet, you got to see this documentary. It's unbelievable.
I think I'd go with Lance Armstrong, the whole situation, George Washington, President Secret, my mom. She would like to be in that lunch as well.
Simone Biles, because I'm obsessed with gymnastics. Michaela Schifrin, she's a skier. Patrick Dempsey.
How has your diet and training habits changed since your ninth grade year at McDonald's?
Definitely more aware of what I'm eating. Freshman year, every day, I would get a cake batter for real. Like, don't do that anymore. I drink more water. Training outside of just going to practice or games, so I do that more.
Thank you.
Freshman year, I didn't really work out or eat healthy at all, just because I didn't think it really translated sports at all. As I progressed through my years, I've started to realize eating crappy food is going to impact you later in the day at practice. And also, like, if you're not lifting or working out as your preseason, then you're not going to be as strong or as fast or as good as your sport. When the season comes, I've learned more about that.
I'm going to be honest and say I still really struggle. I started going to a trainer that my friend introduced me to. It helped me change my whole mindset about especially sleep. Like, once I get my work done at night, binging Netflix is a big problem. Getting to sleep earlier and waking up earlier has been much more effective because I'd want to sleep until, like, the last one that I could, and now I wake up, like, try to wake up before my alarm. Definitely still working on that, and drinking more water has been a big problem. I used to eat really poorly, and now I try to eat more whole foods and things that aren't, like, sitting on a shelf. It's been my trainer who, and friends who've tried to make me realize what's better for me.
I would say the thing that really changed was for our lacrosse program, we have like team lifts and stuff like that, but like doing the lifts correctly. Like you'd be amazed how as a freshman you go in there and you think you're doing it right, but then when you actually like are with the trainer, they're like, yeah, that's wrong. It's actually hurting you more than it's helping you. Probably wouldn't say I eat healthy. I definitely drank a lot of soda as a freshman. Water's key, hydration's key.
Can we have a round of applause for our guest? That's basically what I do on my show. Certainly when it's a college person, it's a little bit different. I try to interview guests that are really 50 years or older because I want a long-term perspective on their careers and their decisions. But those are the kind of things that I do on the show. And what I do is just take maybe a 45-minute interview and I bring it down to about 30 minutes of first and second half. But that's a mixture. So from that and what you heard me say about who I was in the beginning, what questions do you have that might have been the same ones I asked them? Who wants to start us off?
The show will be right back.
Start with your gift. Understand and monetize it while serving others with it. This book is written for the younger version of me. In Start With Your Gift, I help you recognize your gift, select mentors, choose the right school and training, consider childhood wounds in need of healing, identify internships, show you how to select jobs, get your financial house in order, live and give like no one else. And it's available on Amazon.com as an ebook or paperback.
Now back to the show.
What questions do you have that might have been the same ones I asked them? Who wants to start us off?
My fix for me was sports. I excelled in the sport of lacrosse. I excelled in soccer. I also play ice hockey. Again, people say ice hockey, brother play ice hockey. If you move a person to a community where these are sports that are what you play, that's what you do. That's just the reality of it. You know, we talk a lot of people that we call white chocolate. You know, white kids who grew up around black kids, they do the same thing. And they have the same people looking at them in their community like, why do you play that sport? That's just what happened with me. So I got to the point where lacrosse was the most important sport for me. Had the opportunity to go off and play in college. When I went to college, I went to a community college because my grades were terrible. Not because I wasn't smart, but because I had ADHD at a severe level, and I didn't have the grit to know how to push through that. I also didn't have the kind of support system that I have now as a person with a documented disability. I have a lot more supports around me on my job that helps me get through those tough times. I didn't have that then. So I kind of bombed in school, had to go to this community college, went there. Again, seeking lacrosse. I wasn't seeking education. This would be straight with you. I told the FCA group that this morning. I was seeking to continue to scratch that itch of lacrosse. I went there. I qualified to get scholarship offers at University of Maryland, a place called Delphi University of Long Island, and then ultimately Syracuse. Syracuse won their first national championship that year. So I pursued that because, again, I'm chasing lacrosse. So I go to Syracuse, and now I'm on the defending national championship team. Played in two national championships during my time at Syracuse. National TV a whole bit. Then I go back home, and now everybody's embracing me. Now everybody's inviting me to the party. And that kind of really bothered me because the way I felt like I was treated when I was, you know, sophomore, you know, junior and all that kind of stuff. So now, you know, everybody wants Fred around that now there's some kind of cachet attached to me. And I, you know, I went through one of those phases that you probably will go through if you're not going through what I call the angry black man stage, where I just was really mad at understanding how I thought I was being treated by society, my community, things that people would say that they had no idea was just really insensitive. I'll give you an example of being one of the few at Syracuse. I'll never forget one of my teammates, Hall of Famer, good friend, know him real well, love him, but we're sitting in the car, in my car, driving from our housing to campus. He's in the back seat. I'm a junior. He's a freshman. Comes from a lily white town, even more isolated than the town I grew up as far as the exposure to black folks. And he says to me, hey, oh, you don't think black women are pretty, do you? Oh, yeah, straight up. Didn't even blink. Didn't even understand why that would be a problematic statement. But that's just kind of stuff that, because he didn't know any better. And his closest ability to ask somebody a question that's been on his mind for a while was me. And, you know, at the time, I really didn't know how to answer them. I don't even know what I said. Kind of just like, you know, like, really? Kind of stuff. So those are regular things that I had to experience as an athlete. I'll jump to 1990. I'm a member of the U.S. national team, the first African-American to play on a U.S. national team. The World Championships are in Perth, Australia. This is a story I tell a lot of people, and it's indicative of my experience being one of the few. We are all in U.S. national team garb, you know, slacks, jackets, says USA on it, same tie, everything the same. We get off the plane, we go through customs, okay? And I go through customs, and then I get on the bus, and all of the teammates and the members of that entourage are on the bus. And they say, hey, oh, what happened? What take you so long? Why did it take you so long? So I had to go through customs, right? I start asking questions. What I found out, I'm the only one when going through customs did they search everything in my bag. Opened my bag up, broke everything down. The white teammate, I'm the only person that looks like me in that entourage. And that's what customs did to me going through Australia. White teammates had no idea why that happened. I had to explain to them what my theory was why that happened. So that happens already. Now, let's jump to academia. I'm now getting a PhD. Things have changed in my life. I understand better who I am. I understand grit. I get through it. I'm in graduate school. I'm at a conference as a professor. My first job's at Morehouse College in Atlanta. I'm at Morehouse. I'm at a conference at a hotel. I'm going to a conference this weekend. And we go to a panel at the conference. After the panel's over, we're sitting around talking. One of my white colleagues comes up to me. I'm dressed probably very similar to what I'm dressed now. Comes and says, can you get me some more water, please? Now, I have to explain to you, a lot of my white colleagues, I have to explain to them why the person's asking me that. Okay, so the assumption is that I'm working at the hotel, getting water and stuff like that. Not that I'm your colleague and your equal in the situation. That's the kind of stuff that I have to deal with regularly. When I was in graduate school and I would be on a plane traveling like I was last night, and somebody said, oh, you're in graduate school. You're getting your master's. No, I'm getting a PhD. They look at me like, really? One time I'm in Florida. This is the last one I'm going to go to Q&A. One time I'm in Florida, and we're at a salon to get your nails done. I think my in-laws or my mother-in-law gave us, you know, one of these gifts to go. So we went, and while I'm waiting to get my nails done, yes, men do get their nails done. So while I'm waiting to get my nails done, I'm reading a book, like I do all the time. I'm reading all the time. And for me, that's what Malcolm used to say. Read, keep reading. Anytime Malcolm, you saw him, he had a briefcase full of books. And anytime he had a free minute, he was reading. That's what I do. So I'm reading, and this white woman who was about to take care of us, you know, she just says to me, she says, you know, I have to tell you, I don't know how to say this. I've never seen a black man reading a book like that. And I started thinking about it. You know, wow, that says something. I also would say to some of you all, with relatives you have, I mean, how often do people catch you reading a book when you don't have to read? How often do you catch your older relatives reading a book when you don't have to read? I mean, those are just some of the things. I will tell you, in case it helps through the Q&A, that my work is around the area of food. So I use food as a lens into history. So I've published 6 books, and the books, if you look at them, the theme is, what do you learn when you look at the study of food? You learn a lot about power. You learn a lot about sexism. You learn a lot about business and how business is done. You learn a lot about stereotypes. So, again, those are the kind of things. You can easily find out more about my work by just going on fredopie.com. I have a podcast, there's a sports podcast, and then I have a food history podcast. There's a ton of stuff on there, and there's 2 blogs where you can learn more. 3 people I would go with. Definitely Frederick Douglass, my namesake, to interview him to find out what it was like to be an enslaved person, particularly in this area. Gandhi would be pretty cool to find out what it was like to lead the revolution he did in India. And then my last one, Ida B. Wells. She led an anti-lynching campaign in the state of Tennessee, and she was, I think, one, if not the only woman, was one of the original founders of the NAACP. So Ida B. Wells. Those would probably be the 3 people I would want to deal. All right, so one of the questions I didn't ask you all is I'll ask If you could have a superpower, which one would you want and why? And one of my students blew me away. Matter of fact, I steal her answer. When somebody asked me this one, she said, I'd like to have to be able to heal people. Imagine that, going to hospitals, kids who have cancer, Parkinson's, whatever, and be able to touch that person and see them immediately come back to their health. I just thought that was, I mean, I got a kind of a chill just thinking about it now, that she was that passionate and focused on other people, not about herself. What's my view on early recruiting lacrosse? I think it's caused more turmoil than anything else. I think, I mean, come on, folks. How are you going to ask somebody in ninth grade, eighth grade, where you want to go to college when they can barely spell college, what major you're going to be? Don't know what. I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, I didn't know any of that kind of stuff until, you know, I'm in junior college. I'm struggling with that. So I just think it's unfair. I understand most of the coaches I interview, I mean, I interview top people, they hate it too. But their competitors are doing it, and they feel like, you know, I got to do it. My answer is, who's going to be a leader? Be a leader. Change, shift the things. But nobody wants to do that. But if they were to get together and say, you know, I'm going to shift this, it would change. But I think it's unfair to parents. I think it's unfair to the players. And I think it's terrible for the game. Because the bottom line is, look, I told you all I played on the U.S. national team. At Syracuse, I didn't make any honors. I was splitting time with a guy who was a walk-on. I was a scholarship athlete. So something changed between my junior year at Syracuse and then trying out 1989 for the 90 team. I got a whole lot better. My dad would be my first and most important mentor. After that, there have been a lot of people who have been mentors who I've known them from afar, but I've almost stalked their careers to learn how to do some of the things they do. A podcast I would recommend to everybody in here is by a guy named Lewis Howes. His last name is Howes. He's got a podcast that when his show goes out, he gets 6K, 9K, 10K downloads like nothing. He interviews some of the best people in all careers, and that's where I want to go with my podcast. I would love... So I got to the point where my podcast allows me to do this full time. If I decide to be a teacher, it's because it's an option. But the chance to come in and meet people, talk to people, unpack their careers, learn about things they did, and things that my listeners can get from that, I just love that. So Lewis Howe is doing that, and he's definitely an important one. I also think Malcolm X has always been a person who I've looked to that wondered what his life could have been if he could have lived longer and the impact that he had. So certainly he helped me get my mind on together as a black man growing up in our country, which is not always friendly to people that look like me. So those would probably be the three people. Best advice to kids that get in college is never stop growing. I've said this earlier today, but I will say it again. Anything that's not growing is dead. You need to keep growing as a player. Whatever you do, you should be better the next year. You know, the two twins, I interviewed Coach Allie Messenger of the Naval Academy, by the way. And what she said about those two twins are on that team, I don't know if you guys know, 22 and 44, they shoot like 200 shots after every practice. They're working on their footwork. These girls, I mean, they're incredible. I'll tell you another one I think about that is one of your alumni, Taylor Cummings. She's interviewed on my show. What people say about her competitive edge, the desire to get better, you got to have that. You got to be hungry. You got to just want to just push yourself. And to me, it's doing the work when nobody else is watching. Game time is too late. You got to push yourself, make yourself work hard. That's what I would say to you, on the field and off the field. Push yourself, grow, never stop growing. And read. Find great podcasts. Fill your head with positive stuff, because there's going to be, if you're really good, you're going to have a lot of haters, folks. That's just the reality. You're going to have a lot of haters. So you got to keep yourself positive and you got to grow. Those would be the great advice I would give to you. By the way, so I talked to you and your friend in the office about their knee injuries. I should have mic'd you guys. I mean, seriously, there's a huge problem with knee injuries with female athletes. The advice they gave me that I could pass on to my 12-year-old daughter was awesome. So I was like sitting there going, man, I should have mic'd these guys up. It was a really good conversation. Thank you for listening. It really was a pleasure to get to know you. I'll be around, stand behind if you have any questions. I'll be glad to answer your questions. Thank you again.
invite me to speak and host the Fred Opie Show at your school, club team, or camp by emailing me at fdopie@gmail.com. Hosting a show is a great way for the older students who are interviewed to pass on positive peer pressure to younger students. And during the Q&A with the audience, I share a perspective I wish I had when I was younger. That's a wrap for this show. Thanks for listening. To hear more content like it, go to fredopie.com. This show could have been brought to you by your company. If you have questions about advertising and sponsoring this show, contact us at fdopie@gmail.com. That's fdopie@gmail.com.
If you're interested as an audio mixer or in sales and marketing, send us a note with the subject header, Fred is Hiring, to fdopie@gmail.com. Start with a gift. Learn how to understand your gift, monetize it, and serve others with it. I wrote it for the younger version of me, who I describe as having sports on the brain and lots of pain. It'll be available online at fredopie.com.